ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Where are we? Which canto are we in? Oh, we're doing Chittin Shoshu. That's the wrong book out. Okay. So do we read a few shlokas? Is that what we do? Or just concentrate on one? Okay. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura
Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, so we're looking at Madhya Leela, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord's return to Jagannath Puri. That's text 169. Do you want the Bengali? What do you do? Very much. Thank you. Charma guchana kaila amare sudhana. Donhara yapa yapa kapve eta khanara. Charma. Deerskin. Guchana.
Taking away.
Kaila.
Did.
Amare.
Unto me.
Shodhana,
purification.
Donhara,
of
both of us. Vyapya,
being localized.
Vyapakatve,
being all pervasive.
This. Sounds kind of Canadian, doesn't it?
Ta,
indeed.
Karana,
the cause.
Translation.
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified me by taking away my deer skin. This is proof that he is all pervasive and all powerful and that I am subordinate to him. Let's repeat it. Okay.
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
purified me
by taking away
my deer skin.
This is proof
that he is all pervasive
and all powerful
and that I am subordinate to him.
And purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Brahmananda Bharati herein asserts that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme Brahman and that he is the subordinate Brahman. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. The supreme personality of Godhead is Brahman, or Param Brahman, the chief of all living entities. Both the supreme Brahman, or the personality of Godhead, and the living entities are persons. But the supreme Brahman is the predominator, whereas the living entities are predominated. So, let's do a little bit more. Is that okay with you? Next text, 170. His bodily hue is golden, and his whole body is like molten gold. Every part of his body is very beautifully constructed and smeared with sandalwood pulp. According to the renounced order, the Lord is always equipoised. He is firmly fixed in his mission of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and he is firmly situated in his dualistic conclusion and in his peace. Purport.
This is a quote from the Mahabharata, Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra, 127, 92, 75, and verse 171. All the symptoms mentioned in the verse from Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra are visible in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His arms are decorated with ornamental bangles made of sandalwood pulp and with a thread received from the Sri Jagannath deity. 172. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya rendered his judgment, saying, Brahmananda Bharati, I see that you are victorious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, I accept whatever Brahmananda Bharati has said. It is quite all right with me. That's 173. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus posed himself as a disciple and accepted Brahmananda Bharati as a spiritual master. He then said, the disciple is certainly defeated in an argument with the spiritual master. Brahmananda Bharati immediately countered these words, saying, this is not the cause of your defeat. There is another cause. 174. This is your natural characteristic. You accept defeat at the hands of your devotee. This is another glory of yours, also another glory of yours, which I ask you to hear attentively. 175. I've been meditating on the impersonal Brahman since my birth, but since I have seen you, I have fully experienced Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahmananda Bharati admitted that when there is an argument between the spiritual master and the disciple, the spiritual master is naturally victorious. We're going to charade this out if you don't mind. I have to have my fun. Although the disciple may put forward a strong argument, in other words, people are cheating here. It is customary that the words of the spiritual master are more worshipable than the words of a disciple. Under these circumstances, since Brahmananda Bharati was in the position of a spiritual master, he emerged victorious over Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who considered himself Brahmananda Bharati's disciple. However, Brahmananda Bharati reversed the argument and took the position of a devotee, admitting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. This means that the Lord was voluntarily defeated out of affection for the devotee. He was defeated voluntarily because no one can defeat the Supreme Lord. Concerning this, the words of Bhishma and Srimad Bhagavatam are important. Okay, go for it. And the translation is, fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the took up its wheel and ran toward me hurriedly, just as the goes to an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. And that's from the Bhagavatam, first canto, 9 chapter and text 37. Krishna promised not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but in
order to break Krishna's promise. Bhishma attacked Arjuna in such a vigorous way that was obliged to take up a chariot wheel and attack Bhishma. The Lord did this to show that his devotee was being maintained at the sacrifice of his own promise. Brahmananda Bharati said, since the beginning of my life, I was attached to impersonal Brahman realization. But as soon as I saw you, I became very much attached to the personality of Godhead. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself, and thus Brahmananda Bharati became his devotee. Period. Is that good, or do you want to do a little bit more of this? Okay. Gopal rules. He's king. Okay, he's running for presidency. That wouldn't be a bad idea, actually. Text 176. Brahmananda Bharati continued, since I have seen you, I've been feeling Lord Krishna's presence in my mind, and I've been seeing him before my eyes. I now want to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna over and above this. Within my heart, I consider you to be Krishna, and I'm therefore very eager to serve you. Text 177. Bilva Mangal Thakur abandoned his impersonal realization for the realization of the personality of Godhead. I now see that my condition is similar to his, for it has already changed. And the report by Srila Prabhupada once again. In his early life, Bilva Mangal Thakur was an impersonalist monist, and he used to meditate upon the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Later, he became a Lord, and his explanation for his change is given in a verse, text 178, that is quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Gradually, one comes to the stage of Bhagavan realization of the Supreme Person, after having attained the lower stages of realization. Impersonal Brahman realization and localized Paramatma realization. This is described in the Chaitanya Chandramrita, verse 5, by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Okay, here we go for the pundits. That was not too bad. Kaivalya, oneness in the effulgence of Brahman, appears hellish to the devotee. The heavenly planets, the abodes of the demigods, appear to a devotee. Phantasmagoria. The yogis meditate for sense control. But for the devotee, the senses appear like serpents with broken teeth. The devotee doesn't have to control his senses, for his senses are already engaged in the Lord's service. Consequently, there is no possibility that the senses will act like serpents in the material condition. The senses are as strong as poisonous snakes. When the teeth are broken, the snake is no longer dangerous. The entire world is a replica of Vaikuntha, because he has no anxiety. What a pity. Okay. He sees that every thing. Everybody remembers that. The old reruns. Thing, you know. He sees that everything belongs to, and he does not want to enjoy any for himself. He does not even aspire for the position of Lord Brahma or which one? Indra. He's simply, yes. He simply wants to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he has no problem. He stands in his original constitutional position. All this is possible when one receives Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful glance. Bravo. Good. In the Chaitanya Chandramrita, there are many more verses illustrating the same principle. Okay, pundits, are you ready? Okay. All right. Okay. A discussion of the impersonal Brahman is not very palatable to a. The so-called regulations of the Shastras also appear null and void to him. There are many people who argue over the Shastras. But for a devotee, such discussions are but tumultuous roaring. By the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these problems disappear. Good. Are we doing good? I mean, I'm sort of having a little fun here. Are you all right? Should we discuss a little bit? Or? Yes? I'm in a dilemma here. Yes. I was once during traveling Sankirtan as a brahmachari, and we got a hotel room up in northern Ontario. It was Kenora, and so real dive of a place. But it was like $10, you know, to get $10 a room. Can you imagine how disgusting the place probably was? And so we slept. It was a very hot day. It was like 100 degrees that day, Fahrenheit. And, you know, we were told it's going to be another hot day. The fellow who we checked in with. And then myself, the two other brahmacharis, we slept on the floor. And then 1 hour later, our alarm clock went off. It's going on. You know, it's And it wasn't the alarm clock, it was the fire alarm. And there was a fire, in the hotel, like a serious one. So we quickly gathered our things, and then we went to the door of the corridor. And then it was all just, filled with smoke. It was like, it was super scary. And so we closed the door. And then we went to the window, and it was like 2.5 stories down. And we were ready to just jump it, And so there were all these people out there. All these people, they were all came to observe the fire and party animal types, And the people were out there on the street, and they said, jump, jump, jump. 50% of them said that. And the others went, and they were all drunk. They said, don't do it. Don't do it. So I was really, what to do? It was really, really in a dilemma. I was not quite sure what to do. All right, so here we are. Here's some important points to consider. So, that's right. We got to go. So it just so happened that about a minute later after, I sort of flung my leg over. I was ready to leap, and then seemed to be the majority shifted. Don't do it. And then I, fling my leg back and do it, jump! 1 hour, or let's say 1 minute later, the fire brigade came, and they're just around the corner. And then they came with their extended ladder, and they came to the window, and they kind of just missed it here by 1 foot, and then they came over and missed it again. It was like Keystone Cops. So finally they did hit it smack on target, and we got down. We lived happily ever after up to this point. I remember we just had to sleep at a lake outside, and all these like turkey vultures were, swinging around up in the sky, and says, dinner. All right, so we're at a beautiful pastime here of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his interaction with his devotees. And a few of the messages that I've come across here with our delivery here, with your participation, is that of the different levels of self-realization, Paramiti, Paramatmiti, Bhagavan Iti Shabjite, namely Lansing, or let's say meditating on Brahman, as opposed to Paramatma, God localized in the heart, and then finally the deity, God, Bhagavan himself, who resides in his own abode. The superior position is that of Bhagavan realization. And examples are given of that in the Shastra. Bilva Mangal Thakur is one particular person who had this, understanding of the absolute. But he was promoted to the devotional platform. Can any of you think of any other devotees who were at one level and they reached to other plateaus? Yes. Shukadeva Goswami is also mentioned as another person, right? And from the Bhagavad, let's go to the lady's side over here. Prakashananda Saraswati, yes. Okay, fine, that's right. He did again. The four Kumaras is another example, yes. Any others that come to mind? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as well. Yes, yes, most definitely. I think those are the prime people. Can you think of anybody else? Shukadeva Goswami was mentioned. Well, why not? Okay. Oh, he was too much, yeah. But did he actually advance? Did he progress to become Bhagavan realized by the mercy? Good. So these are some people who are, when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I was reading in the Bhagavad Gita about all this impersonal stuff, and I really didn't have a reference point so much. I was raised as a Christian, so God was always a person. Always. God was always, our teacher was saying, God's in a piece of chalk. And he put it down on the blackboard ledge, and he left it at that. And we were just stunned. I went to Catholic school. I said, what's that all about? And I still remember the girl in our class, it was Alice Lenders, I still remember it. She says, no, that can't be, she objected. It was the start of the counterculture, you know, like oppose everything that, you know. But, you know, actually, Mr. Dulong, who was the name of the teacher, he actually couldn't explain it. He was more based on faith position that he took, which is that, yeah, God is in everything. God is omnipresent. You know, he couldn't explain. So now, after some years of joining the Krishna Consciousness Movement and reading the material, I could understand that God is present everywhere, and there's personalism everywhere. How do we understand philosophically, technically, that Krishna is everywhere, even in a piece of chalk, which nobody uses anymore? So he's present as the maker, as the creator, the manufacturer of some sort. Okay. Okay. Is that okay? Is that all right for an explanation, Prabhu? Okay. Prabhu is saying, just for those sake of those devotees who are, you know, listening through the microphone, that Prabhu is saying here that Krishna created a piece of chalk, so the materials, you know, the material, and therefore he's present in some shape or form. Is that okay, or do you want to expand on that? Panditjis, Pandit genies, or whatever.
Yeah. If you want to say that God is everything, you have to include all three different levels.
All three levels have to be accepted.
Yeah, kind of.
God is personal in everything. Okay. Those three levels of God realization. God's presence in all of them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Brahman.
Okay.
Brahman. Okay. So. Okay, good, good, good. So there's a presence of Krishna in everything through these different layers, three layers of the Absolute. That's what you see. Anybody else want to expand on that and contribute? Yes. You were thinking? Srila Prabhupada gave an explanation. One who realizes Bhagavan can perceive the super soul in everything. Oh, that's not a bad idea. Okay.
So the Prabhupada says one who has realized this Bhagavan aspect of Absolute can see actually that he has expanded in every atom. And then Prabhupada goes further that in each atom, Krishna is not there alone. He is there with his associate. It bewildered me when I heard that, but I remember. Then Prabhupada said he is with his holy dham. So atom is not a measurable by our microscopic or so-called scientist brain, because the entire spiritual world in each atom, according to Srila Prabhupada. And he quoted that verse, andantarastha parmanu chayantarastha. That Govinda has entered into the atom, he is never alone. He is with you. So only devotee can understand the three concepts of Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahma.
So to be able to appreciate that Krishna is in a piece of chalk, you have to be a devotee. That's what you're saying. Okay. And you've expanded upon the topic because you've said that, according to Srila Prabhupada, that it's not that Krishna is just there in every atom. He's got his whole entourage with his whole company, family members, Nanda, Yashoda, Vasudev, Devaki, everything. The Virat group is there.
Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe in Krishna's form.
Okay. All right. Any other contributions in this area? Yeah.
Sometimes it's explained that there's an efficient cause and an ingredient cause. So where the stuff itself, where to get the stuff. The stuff is also it's also Krishna. I'm sorry, Vashya Prabhupada. So there isn't anything that isn't Krishna. That's one aspect. And then of course that for the devotee then there's the need to Ishta Dev Spurti. He sees Krishna.
That sounds pretty mystical, but it sounds good.
But the efficient clause, the ingredient clause is there. Yeah. The ingredients.
Okay. Any other elaborations on this? On this topic here? The presence of Krishna in the piece of chalk.
Well, every religion refers to God as being omnipotent. So omnipotent means he's fully present in his potency, including the piece of chalk. But he reserves the right of not being exposed to anyone and everyone.
Okay. All right.
And I just read this morning, Krishna, God is absolute. He is not, he's not different from his name, his perspiration, and his pastimes. They're all equal.
All equal. And his temple. And his devotees. And the tiles on the floor of the temple. Like his present everywhere. Anyways, it's a good topic. Let's continue on a little bit with more of our reading. Thank you for your contributions for this. Alright. Let's see. What did we finish off here? Do we still have it up there? Verses. So, Brahmananda Bharati, right? Text 178. Is that where we're at? Brahmananda Bharati concluded, although I was worshipped by those on the path of monism and initiated into self-realization through the yoga system, I am nonetheless forcibly turned into a maidservant by some cunning boy who is always joking with the gopis. Okay? Beautiful shloka, isn't it? And this is from Bilva Mangal Thakur. It is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Yes, beautiful. Text 179. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, You have a deep, ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, wherever your eyes turn, you simply heighten your Krishna consciousness. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, both your statements are correct. Krishna gives direct audience through his own mercy. In text 181, without having ecstatic love for Krishna, one cannot see him directly. Therefore, through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Bharati has acquired direct vision of the Lord. And purport by Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are Brahmananda Bharati, an advanced devotee who ecstatically loves the Supreme Lord. Therefore, you see Krishna everywhere, and there is no doubt about it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a mediator between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Brahmananda Bharati, and his judgment was that an advanced devotee like Brahmananda Bharati sees Krishna by Krishna's mercy. Krishna directly presents himself before the vision of an advanced devotee. Since Brahmananda Bharati was an advanced devotee, he saw Krishna in the person of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the words of Brahma Samhita, everyone together, 538. Priman jana churita bhakti velochanena santa sadaiva kriviyeshu veloka yanti yang shama sundaram chinchaguna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyamasundara, situated within the of the devotee. Good. 182. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what are you saying? Lord Vishnu, save me. Such glorification is simply another form of blasphemy. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little embarrassed by Bhattacharya's statement. Therefore, he uttered the name Vishnu to save himself. The Lord herein confirms that if one is overestimated, glorification is just another form of blasphemy. In this way, he protests this so-called offensive statement. So devotees were trying to prove, I know there's a whole instance with Gopal Bhattacharya, trying to, let's say, qualify that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Lord, none other than Krishna, and that's verified in Shastra. For instance, in the Bhagavatam, Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sangha Pangrishna Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar Yujantihi Sumedasaha. So Krishna comes to this world in a Krishna, which means dark lord, comes Akrishna, a light color, light complexion person. And he comes here in the age of Kali, and he comes with a system called Sankirtan. Sankirtan means glorification of the Lord. It's a glorification of sound vibration, where people come together and do that. Sankirtan, samyak, means people converge, they come together and they participate. And that this particular Krishna, the light-colored one, he comes with his weapons, his astras, and his astras are Sangha, the Sangha, the associates. Namely, well, there's a whole bunch of them, but let's say there's Panchatattva, right? So he has four associates that make it five when he's included. And who are they, Gopal? Tell me one. Who's with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Nityananda and Shrivas. Okay. So these are his weapons. We can keep that in mind. We don't need weapons other than devotee association. Those are lethal weapons against the onslaughts of Kali Yuga's influence. We do live in an age where there's lots of weapons, the weapons of mass distraction. And I heard a priest say that once on one of the walks I did across Canada. He stayed with myself and my godbrother would stay with him. And says, you know, we're living in an age where it's just, oh, there's all these weapons of mass distraction. And that's a fact. But a stronger weapon is apparently, you know, just having the good company, having like-minded people, those who are thoroughly devotional, you know. And there are, you know, even amongst the devotees, I would say everybody's good. We hear some people are cynical, because some devotees are cynical. They're very difficult to be around. Tamahar, you've done a course on how to deal with difficult devotees. Sometimes they're cynical. To me, I think that to be cynical is a sin. Maybe that's where the word comes from, to be cynical. And devotees are optimistic. I do meet people who are not confirmed devotees. They're not part of our institution. But they show signs of incredible devotion. For instance, I met one guy. He was, when I was walking, he pulled over and said, I saw you 9 years ago on this road, didn't I? And he had it right down. 9 years, he remembers. And it's exactly right. I said, yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I know you're a monk. I know you're probably vegetarian, right? But yeah, I am. Well, you know, I hunt moose and eat moose, you know. that's my lifestyle. Hope you won't hold it against me. And I said, no, I won't hold it against you. We had a nice chat. He was actually very optimistic. He was really, you know, he was like a cheerleader for me. Of all the people, the motorists around, he came, took the time out to pull over and say, I think it's great what you're doing. So as he was about to leave, I said, well, it's really nice to meet you, I said to him. I said, I hope you have the best day of your life today. Anyways, he drove up, and then he did a U-turn, and he came out, thank you for saying that. Just like that, you know what I mean? It was just, he was just responding to something positive. So even in persons who have a lifestyle that's kind of like questionable from our point of view, people show a real strong sense of devotion. It's amazing work. And Krishna reveals himself, you know, through different circumstances. You'll sometimes meet a homeless person and they'll say something very, very profound. Very profound. And it's like, Krishna just spoke through that person. And that person stings and smells, hasn't taken a bath forever. And, foul-mouthed and this and that, but, you know, something that person said made me think a little more deeply about what should be my commitment to in Krishna consciousness. So I really think we should see the good in everybody. I think one of the most important things to glean from Krishna consciousness is to be very inclusive and not just consider that here's a devotee, here's a non-devotee, but actually everyone is a devotee. The spiritual world is there, it's spread out, laid out for all of us, and it's just a matter of time before those persons who are devotees, but not so much practicing, will come around. And I think that's really the best way to see it. Sometimes devotees, like we get into this big thing, don't we have to implement varnashram somewhere? Don't we have to be kind of practical about it? But I believe that the way to install the varnashram is it goes with the philosophy, and the philosophy is everyone is Krishna's devotee, and everyone has their talents, and all we want to do is encourage them. You know, we want to basically say, what you're doing is you're great, you're a wonderful person. Now just add Krishna to your life, and the purification will kick in. It'll take place, you know. And that's the particular approach, and I think that's more effective than saying you have to, you know, cut out all these, you know, bad, you know, behavior, and that approach just doesn't work. That's a whole sort of chopping technique. You know, perhaps a better approach is, you know, offer kindness. Kindness is what kills the negative things. And then they'll come around. They will just have to implement that idea. So let's see the spiritual world. It's all out there. Of course, it's not a hard thing to see out here. It is pretty old, you know, pretty nice out there. Sometimes not so nice, and that's Krishna's, let's say, nasty form, but it humbles us. If we can have that kind of vision, that the spiritual world, spiritual energy is all around, all about us, then varnashram and all the other things that, you know, not that we don't need to take steps and practical procedures to implement, but if we have that kind of vision, we will succeed with this particular system that Lord Sri Krishna has established for this world. So the inclusiveness is what is important. Sankirtan means everyone together. You know, no one's out of the picture. Everyone's engaged in this party. And I, with ISKCON 50th, I had to think a little bit about what are the contributions of Srila Prabhupada. And I think the most profound thing, for me anyways, is that he redefined what is a party. You know, having a good time. You know, sing, dance, have some good food, say good things about each other, and then you're a little tired, go and have a nap in the corner, a cat nap, and get up and jump back into the kirtan. That's he redefined party. It's wholesome. And this is the whole thing. Krishna consciousness is a wholesome culture, wholesome procedure, and it begins with optimism and inclusiveness, not exclusiveness. Okay. Perhaps some of you have been met with some of these Brahmins that we meet sometimes in good old, the land of Bharatvarsh, or even I've been to some Hindu temples where some Brahmins are just yelling and screaming at each other and at the people, the constituents, and they're just like proud, and it's very disgusting, you know. And very exclusivistic, you know. I have monopoly on, you know, on bhakti, and you other people don't really understand. So that attitude is there, that exists, and it's not very inclusive, it's not very healthy. So we will stand to win the hearts of the public when we have that kind of vision. Everyone's devotional, there's definitely a flame there, or at least a spark, and that spark has the potential to combust and become a big fire, a beautiful fire. So anyways, thank you very much. I think we should end it here because I know programs have to go on. Prasadam has to be there, and I guess that's it. Anybody else have some quick comments or questions or realize real life patient? Anything at all? Okay, I guess we're left in the void here. Left in the Brahma Jyoti. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead. Saved.
I go to the prison on Saturday, and when one of the prisoners says, they made a circle and they excluded me, I made a bigger circle and included them. So I thought it was nice.
Oh, no. That's a good take-home saying. Okay, we like that. Thank you. So thank you very much, Prabhu. Very much. Jai.
Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sandhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.